Throughout all of our lives, we have all had one common struggle. This struggle isn't something that's easy to deal with. This struggle is temptation. From the time that we could think and understand right from wrong, we all face this issue. Temptation is the desire to do something wrong. Satan uses our weaknesses to try to get us to sin. He's smart and he's crafty. He'll find a way to get into your mind and use these things that we love to tempt you. The Bible says that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's always trying to catch us in this trap. Temptation itself is not a sin. Temptation is what leads us to sin. Open your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. This mentions at the very beginning of the passage that it is our own evil desires that lure us and tempt us. It's our weaknesses. These verses also show us the course of temptation if it's not controlled. Temptation, when it is acted on, gives birth to sin. And we see that a life of sin leads to death. This is not something that we should take lightly. I feel like we can sometimes overlook temptation or not teach it as much as we should. But this is something that's serious and that all Christians struggle with. So how does Satan tempt us? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Satan uses these three things to lead us astray. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This verse is showing that these things are of the world. And the Bible tells us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. This means that we live in this world, we live on the earth, but we don't act like the people in the world. We see the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh used in the very first temptation on this earth. Satan convinced Eve that the fruit was good to eat, even though God had told them beforehand not to eat of the fruit. It was good in appearance and what she observed with her eyes. The thing is that once we start sinning, it's very difficult to get out of it. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. If it was easy to not let sin control our lives, then we wouldn't find all these verses in the Bible that warn us about sin. God warns us also in this verse not to give in to the body. This also goes back to the lust of the flesh. Now, it can be very difficult to escape sin because we often make excuses for the wrongs that we have done. We justify it in our minds, and we make it excusable. But all this is just lying to ourselves. We blind ourselves to sin, and once we are stuck in the loop, this can be a hard struggle to get out of. Satan also likes to tempt us after our spiritual highs. You know, for example, right after someone's baptized, Satan likes to come in strong and try to pull people off the path, the good path, as quickly as he can. We also need to understand that only Satan can tempt us. Let's look at James. Go back to James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God is the opposite of evil, the contradictory to evil. He cannot have anything to do with evil. This is why when we sin, it separates us from God. When we justify our sins, this keeps us separated from God because we're living in sin. So how do we resist temptation? We know what temptation is. We know who tempts us. How do we resist it? Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. This is one of my favorite passages that deals with temptation because we see the real life examples of how to deal with temptation and resist it. Let's start in verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. In the chapter before this, we read that Jesus was just baptized. And then he was led up into the Spirit, into the wilderness, to be tempted. This again shows that Satan likes to tempt people after they're baptized. Let's look at verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Satan starts by saying, if you are the Son of God. The if at the beginning of this is to taunt Jesus, to make him prove that he is the Son of God by turning the stones into bread. But this is just another trap that's laid by Satan. Because if Jesus proved that he was the Son of God by turning the stones to bread, Satan would have won and he would have given in. Then he uses the lust of the flesh, as we talked about earlier, to tempt Jesus. He used Jesus' hunger. Jesus' hunger at the time was his weakness. This also shows how cunning Satan can be. Verse 4 says, But Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is where we see Jesus resist the temptation. He quotes scripture instead of giving in to the temptation. It can be challenging to resist temptation, but when boiled down, it's fairly simple. It's as simple as just thinking about what God tells us is right in the Bible. Verses 5 through 7 says, Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. This is the second temptation that Jesus faces. Satan tries to use another temptation here to get him to sin. He uses the same taunt, trying to get Jesus to prove that he's the Son of God. But this time Satan himself quotes scripture to try and force Jesus to sin. Once again, though, we see that Jesus successfully resisted the temptation by quoting scripture. Verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Satan tries to tempt him one last time by using the lust of the eyes. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and told Jesus that he would give them to him if he would just bow down to Satan. I can see Jesus kind of getting annoyed with Satan at this point. You know, he tells Satan just to leave. And Satan left, but that does not mean he won't come back to tempt us. While quoting scripture is one great way to deal with temptation, there are several other ways that we can see in the Bible. Prayer is a great way to resist temptation. Let's look two chapters over at Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. This is Jesus' model prayer when he was teaching the people how to pray to God. Verses 10 through 13 say, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If we're dealing with temptation and we pray to God to help us through the temptation, not only will it take our mind off of the temptation, but God will also help us. God also won't give us any temptation that we can't handle. This means that there's always an escape from sinning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. As we've talked about, there's ways out of temptation. We just have to find them. So let's look at some examples of people who successfully resisted temptation. Other than Eve and Jesus, we see another man who was also heavily tempted. Let's turn to Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." We see in these verses that Job was an extremely wealthy man. He had numerous amounts of livestock. And in this passage, it says that he was the greatest of the East. And not only was he wealthy, but he was also faithful to God. We see that on the days of the feast, he would wake up early and offer the burnt sacrifices to the Lord, the burnt offerings. Then God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job. This was a test with Job. All of his livestock and all of his family were taken away except for his wife. Then Satan attacks Job's health, which makes his life torture. He's lost everything, and then his health is attacked. The main temptation Job faced was his wife. She told him to curse God and die, but Job resisted the temptation, and he never gave in to that, for he was faithful. And at the end of the trials, God rewarded him with everything that he had before, but he doubled it, so he gained even more. We also have a reward for remaining faithful. Let's go back to James chapter 1, and let's look at verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The crown of life, heaven, is our reward for remaining faithful. This is better than any other reward that we could be offered. So how do we prepare for temptation in the future? Not only can we resist temptation, but we can also prepare for it. If we are always alert, we can save ourselves the potential to give in to sin. What we need to do is gain better situational awareness. This means recognizing that the situation we're about to put ourselves in is, if it's good or bad. This can save us from having to deal with temptation and having to resist sin. Amen. What I've seen a lot is that we try to get as close as we can to sin without actually crossing the line. This is not a good practice. We're not supposed to be like the world as Christians. If we are Christians acting the same as the world, then there's major self-evaluation that needs to be done. All in all, we need to try to stay as far away from sin as we can, not testing the line, not trying to get as close as we can. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. At the beginning of this verse, he says, watch and pray. We talked about how prayer can help us from temptation. But this verse rings true. We know this because all the temptations that Satan uses are of the flesh. Everybody except Jesus has sinned. It's something that we all face. But since we have all sinned, how can we get forgiveness so that we aren't separated from God? One way is to pray for God for forgiveness and to repent. Baptism is another way. This is for people who have not yet become Christians. When you're baptized, you're added to the Lord's church, and all your sins are also washed away. All you must do is hear Romans chapter 10, verse 17, believe John chapter 8, verse 24, repent Luke 13, verse 13, confess Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, be baptized Mark 16, 16, and as we've talked about, you must remain faithful, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you would like to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.